Thank you, Brother Raymond. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. It's a privilege to serve you. And thank you for your gift, your thoughtfulness today. Amen. And we'll be thinking about you next week. And we'll miss being here. But at this point in time, we cannot be at two places at the same time. I've been real busy the other day. I saw a car like mine. I thought I meant myself coming back, but it wasn't. It just looked that way. But, you know, life gets busy sometimes, doesn't it? Amen. And so I appreciate your help and your blessing to us, and you are a blessing to us. Appreciate Brother and Sister Hart. They've been a great blessing and great help to us. Glad the Lord has sent them our way. Amen. I'm glad to see you today. It's good to have my sister here and my niece and my nephew. God bless you. This is a wonderful surprise. I'm always glad to see them. You can talk to my sister, just don't talk to her about the past. She remembers things. Amen. When I was an ornery little boy. Amen. And not really. She says good things about me, so it's all right. Talk away. Amen. I'm going to sing a song here this morning. I had a request, but I'll sing anyway. And so worship with us, and we're going to sing a song that said, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything." Can you say that with me today? That you'd rather have him than anything. Amen. He means more than it all. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than to have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred hand than to be a king with a vast domain, or to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today. Oh, he's fairer than the lilies of rarest bloom, and he's sweeter than the honey right out of the comb, and he's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world could afford today. And I'd rather have Jesus than me applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather just be true to his lovely name than to be a king of a vast domain, or to be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this old world could afford today. Yes, I'd rather have Jesus than that this old world could afford today. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Let's stand together today, and we're going to go to the word of the Lord. I'm going to go to the 11th chapter of the Hebrews. We're going to start at verse 39, verse number 40. I heard about a husband and wife that were arguing about making coffee. And the wife told him, she said, "Honey," she said, "the Bible said it's your job." He said, "Where in the world did you find that?" And she said, "Hebrews." Now that's stretching it, folks, but I guess it does apply. Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us." Isn't that great? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you today about the better thing. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is a hero's hall of the faith. But the great people of faith are listed here along with great exploits that were executed in their own lives, beginning with the definition of faith that Brother Hart quoted this morning. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith," that is, "it, elders obtained a good report." And then I love this third verse. To me, it answers so many questions. It says, "Through faith, we understand." Everybody say, "Through faith, we understand." There are some things in life that you can only understand through faith. There is no explanation that will ever satisfy you. Creation is a perfect example of that. You can explain it however you want to explain it. I believe in the Big Bang personally. I believe God said, "Let there be," and bang, it happened. That's the way I believe it happened. Amen. And he just simply said, "Let there be," and there was. Amen. And so that's faith. And I'm perfectly happy with that explanation. I'm disturbed about some of the other explanations, but I find perfect peace because through faith we understand. And then he explains to us this. He said, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. They were made by the Word of God. They exist by the Word of God. They will be renewed by the Word of God. And they will always exist by the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And so it is the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. What did God use to make a tree out of? I don't know. Amen. But it worked, didn't it? There's a whole bunch of them around here. Now somebody cut down a tree and they made this pulpit out of it. Amen. Now I know what this is made out of. And I can make a pulpit, maybe not this nice, but I could make one. Amen. But I can't make a tree. But I know somebody that can. Amen. And by faith, I understand that. And by faith, I believe that. Amen. And then the Bible tells us the other things through this book that faith accomplished in people's lives. The Bible said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You can bring an offering to God and give it to God, but when you mix that offering with faith and with gratitude and with thanksgiving, it makes a lot of difference. Cain brought an offering, but he brought an offering that God did not accept. He was like Frank. He wanted to do it his way. Amen. And God didn't accept it his way. And could I just simply kindly tell you today, he won't take your way either. Amen. But if you'll come his way, he'll accept you. Somebody said, that don't seem fair. No, it is. Amen. But he's God, so get over it. Amen. Amen. You take it up with him. I'm not going to. Amen. What he says goes. It's his world. You're breathing his oxygen. You're living his life. Your heartbeat is because of his spirit, our spirit that he's given to you. Everything you have, everything you own. Amen. All of your stuff is God's. Say, no, it's mine. I earned it. Well, let's see how long it lasts whenever you breathe your last breath. It's here for a time, and then it all belongs to him. It's all his. Did you notice that when people are born, they don't have any pockets? Amen. Because you don't have anything. You came into this world without anything. You're going to leave the same way. One guy died, and he said, I'm going to take it with me. And they said, you can. He said, I'm sure going to try. So he took all of his gold and his money and he put it up in the attic. And he said, on the way up, I'm going to grab it in a big old suitcase. Amen. Well, as soon as the funeral was over, they couldn't wait to get home and see if he got it. The suitcase was still there in the attic. His wife said, maybe he should have put it in the basement. Amen. But you can't take it with you, folks. It's all his. All belongs to him. Amen. And so Abel understood that. He brought to God a more excellent sacrifice. He mixed it with faith, and God received it. I love this about Enoch. The Bible said Enoch was translated. Amen. He just walked with God. Isn't that simple? He's just out walking with God, and God said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Just come on home with me. And boom, he was gone. Amen. One of these days that's going to happen to us, Brother Neil. Amen. We're going to be walking here on terra firma. Amen. And we're going to pick up a foot and we're going to hear the sound of a trumpet and we're going to put that foot back down on a golden street. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Faith. How vital is it? And so Enoch walked with God. He was translated. Noah was warned of God and moved with fear. He started building an ark. We studied about him last Sunday. Amen. And so Noah, the Bible said, was saved through the water. Amen. The same water that destroyed the world, it didn't bother him. He was just lifted up. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And this world's going to be destroyed, the Bible said, the second time by fire. But you know what? Fire cannot destroy, it purifies. Amen. It will destroy what it can, but what it can't destroy, it just purifies. Amen. Amen. And fire's already been here. Somebody said the best way to fire cannot burn where fire's already been. And Brother Hart was telling me about a man the other day that was caught in a fire. And the fire was coming up the mountain, and he was trying to get down the mountain. And he was trapped in a situation that was could have been awful. And so he was quick thinking. He took the water in his canteen, took off his shirt, and soaked it in water, and put it over his face and his head, and he just ran through that wall of flames. Because, you see, when he got to the other side of the flames, the fire had already been there, and it couldn't burn anymore. Amen. And so he got safely through, and he came down, and the forest ranger said, "Where'd you come from?" He said, "I came from up above." And he said, "How did you get through? You couldn't get through there." And it told him how. You see, that's what the Bible talks about, sending your sins ahead. Amen. When your sins have already been judged, they're not going to meet you at the judgment bar. They're under the blood. Hallelujah. They're already taken care of, and you'll not face them again. So the important thing is that the fire can't burn what it's where it's already been. It's already been judged. My sins are under the blood. They're judged today, and I'll not face them again. And so the Bible says Noah was warned of the Lord, and he built the ark, and we're still talking about Noah thousands of years later. Amen. Every child knows the story of Noah. Amen. And what a great man of faith he was. We spent a lot of time this morning talking about the great man Abraham, the father of the faithful. And his story, a little bit of it's here, and his wife are mentioned in these particular verses. Amen. And then we talk about the faith of Isaac. We talk about the faith of Jacob. We talk about the faith of Joseph. Love the story of Joseph. Amen. How a young man, and sold by his brethren, hated by his brethren, and sold into slavery, and sent down into Egypt, and sold into slavery in Potiphar's house. And then in Potiphar's house, he rose because of his goodness to the top of the house, and he was over everything that Potiphar had. And because of a lie of his wife against him and an accusation, he was put in a prison cell, wrongly accused. But his faith kept him. Amen. His faith kept him. Friend, that's why faith is so important to you today. It's so important. Well, you know, life's not fair. We want it to be. I wish it were, but it's not. Anybody believe that today? Amen. Amen. And you learn that real early. If you have kids, you know, one of the first things they learn to say is, "That's not fair." Amen. Well, it's not. But life's just not fair. Amen. If life was really fair, chocolate wouldn't make you fat. So I told you, it's just not fair. Amen. I could eat as much as some of you do and it wouldn't bother me. It's not fair. It's not fair to sit down at the same table with somebody and eat the same amount of food they eat and the same things they eat, and I gain 3 pounds before I get up and they gain nothing. Not fair. Life is not fair. So we just have to accept some things. But faith is going to keep you when it's not fair. When things happen to you that you don't understand, things you didn't ask or things that really shouldn't have happened to you, but they did. And so faith will keep you if you keep your spirit and your attitude right, that faith can get you out of a situation. It did for Joseph. Man, you talk about a promotion. Amen. One day, he's down in the prison. I mean in the inner prison. He's way down there. And before the sun sets, he's riding around in the king's chariot, wearing the king's clothes and got a chain around his neck. Amen. And you talk about a promotion. God knows how to promote folks. Amen. People, if they'll just have faith in God and trust the Lord, it's a great way to live. Amen. It's a lot more stress-free if you're not worrying all the time and trying to force things all the time and make things happen all the time. And just relax and let God. He can do it. And He will. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then Joseph, my, what a man of faith. Moses, great man of faith. Great man of faith. Amen. The Bible says that he forsook the riches of Egypt. Choosing, notice that word, choosing rather to suffer. My goodness, who would choose to suffer? Moses did. He said, I'm going to go with God. And it's going to cost me something. And it did. Amen. But you know, I can't even tell you the Pharaoh's name that was alive then, and very few other people could. But there's multiplied millions of people that can tell you Moses' name. Amen. That's right. I can't tell you the first thing about that Egyptian Pharaoh that lived back in those days, nor any of his sons. I know nothing about them. But I can tell you Moses' story. I've never seen anybody get too inspired about what Pharaoh did, but I can tell you millions of people that have been inspired by the faith of Moses. Amen. Amen. It makes a difference, choosing the way of faith. And so Moses chose that way, and my, how he was honored in what God did in his life and through him. The Bible said so many others, many of their names are not even here because he said there's not time to list them all. He sounds like a preacher already. He's running out of time. We all erased that clock back there. Amen. And I'll be through in an hour or so, and you don't have to worry. And so it said, who through faith, it says they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You know who that one was, right? Quenched the fire, the violence of fire. Remember them? Escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, and slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. He said, in all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, and we're preaching about them this morning, so it was a good report. He said, but they received not the promise. Amen. There was a promise that was coming, but they died before it got here. Amen. He said, but God, having provided some better thing for us. Amen. That we, or that they without us, should not be made perfect. Amen. I want to tell you today that there's a promise and you can have it. I think often about Isaiah, how he must have felt when he picked up that pen and he started writing. And he said, and his name shall be called. Woo, here it comes. Amen. Finally, we're going to get the name. And then it starts writing and he says, I'm waiting. Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, amen. But he didn't get the name, did he? Those were just the titles. I can't help but wonder if maybe there was just a tad of disappointment there. He didn't quite get it. He thought he was going to get it, but he didn't get it. And then a little later in chapter 28, he writes this. He said, and this is the rest wherewith the weary shall be caused to rest. Line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. Amen. What are you talking about, Elijah? He said, I'm talking about a rest. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost baptism. I'm talking about the promise. But it didn't come in Isaiah's time. Ezekiel wrote about it a little bit. He said, and I will take out the stony heart of flesh, and I will give you a fleshly heart. And he said, and I will write my law upon the tables of your heart. He was talking about this new experience that's going to happen. Joel got to talk about it. He got to preach about it, didn't he? Amen. He said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He was talking about the promise, but it didn't come in his time. It didn't come to John the Baptist. John was preaching and he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh one after I, the latchet of whose shoes I'm unworthy to unloose, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when Jesus came, he said it like this. He was preaching one day at the temple and everybody was thirsty. It was hot. Amen. And hotter than Brother Raymond wouldn't have liked that day. And it was hot and everybody's out there. Their throats are parched. And it was a symbol of the priest. They would come out and they would quote from the book of Psalms. And they would pour the water, talking about the water of salvation. And they would let it run down the steps. And all that water's running down the steps. And the people are licking their lips and their throats are dry. And about that time, Jesus stood up and he said, is any man athirst? Let him come unto me and drink, for out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he said, this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so the answer was, it's close, but not yet. It's almost here. Not yet, but almost here. Hallelujah. And then at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he told his disciples, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued, he said, with the promise of the Father. He said, it's coming. Amen. There's a promise waiting for you there. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, wait until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. And so they went to Jerusalem and they waited. And a day passed. And 2 days passed. And 3 days passed. Now, I don't know how many went at first. There were about 5,000 that heard that promise. But when the Holy Ghost came, there was only 120 left. Amen. I don't know if some folks got tired of waiting and went home or what happened. Amen. But the Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, the promise came upon them. And they spilled out into the streets. And they spilled out onto Solomon's porch. And man, they were worshiping. They were praising God. And the people said, the Bible says they were all amazed. They were all amazed that this promise had come upon people. Hallelujah. Amen. And when it comes upon you, friend, it's hard to just stay still. Amen. It's hard to just, I know people sometimes say we get a little too excited. Amen. It's kind of like the guy, this woman told a guy one time, he was excited, he was worshiping God with all of his heart. And she said, God's not deaf, you know. And he said, and he's not nervous either. Amen. Amen. Praise God, he's not nervous about this. Amen. I tell you what makes me nervous. Quietness. You know, I grew up in a house. My mom and dad, you know, they had, I think they're wanting me to quit. Looks like it. They're coming. I don't know. Amen. And so we grew up in a house. And I'm telling you, if you ever went to the Grissom house, it was loud around there. We had a good time. Amen. So if I go to people's house and it's real quiet, I get nervous. I don't know what to do with myself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, if you're talking and carrying on and laughing, I can get in there with you. Amen. But if you're not talking, I'm going to try to get something started. Amen. And the Bible said God's people are His pleasure. And God enjoys it when His people are having a good time. He enjoys that. He likes that. Amen. And so He said that the promise is for you and for His children. And all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the thing is, all of these great, great, great people were missing something that you can have. Because you're living on this side of the promise. Let's stand together. Praise God. You're standing on this side of the promise. God has something good for you today. And if you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God wants you to have it. God wants you to have it. Amen. It's His promise. And He promised it to us. And you can have it today. Amen. It's for you. It's for your children. And their children too. Amen. It's a promise that God made to all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.